When William the Conqueror died in September 1087, the kingdom he had created through invasion, warfare, castle building, and relentless political calculation did not pass intact into the hands of a single heir. England and Normandy, which had been bound together by the personal authority of one extraordinary ruler, were separated. The Conqueror's eldest son, Robert Curthose, inherited the Duchy of Normandy. His younger surviving brother, William Rufus, received the English crown. Their youngest brother, Henry, was given a large sum of money but no kingdom of his own. The arrangement reflected family tensions that had troubled the Conqueror during the final years of his life, but it also created a dangerous political problem. The Norman ruling class was no longer governed by one lord. Many aristocrats held estates on both sides of the English Channel, owing loyalty to Robert in Normandy and to William in England. In theory, this division could be managed. In practice, it placed ambition, loyalty, and self-interest on a collision course. The new king was commonly known as William Rufus, a name probably connected with his reddish complexion or red hair. He was not a ruler who easily inspired affection. Medieval chroniclers often described him as aggressive, mocking, irreverent, and suspicious of ecclesiastical authority. Some accounts may have been shaped by the hostility of churchmen who disliked his methods and his personality. Even so, the general portrait is consistent enough to suggest that William was a forceful and difficult man. He had inherited much of his father's energy, courage, and appetite for command, but not the same reputation for sullen discipline. Where the Conqueror projected an intimidating sense of order, Rufus could appear restless and unpredictable. His court became associated with extravagant clothing, sharp humor, personal favorites, and a style of rule that offended those who expected a king to behave with greater restraint. Yet it would be misleading to dismiss William II as merely a reckless or unpopular monarch. He faced serious challenges from the beginning of his reign, and he survived them through speed, intelligence, and political instinct. He understood that kingship was not secured simply by possessing a crown. It depended on the king's ability to reward allies, divide enemies, mobilize armies, manage finances, negotiate with powerful nobles, and present himself as the defender of peace. Rufus could be harsh, opportunistic, and financially demanding, but he was not weak. His reign revealed how much the English monarchy had changed since the Norman conquest of 1066. The crown was stronger than it had been under the later Anglo-Saxon kings, yet it remained vulnerable whenever the ruler failed to control the aristocracy. William's greatest challenge was therefore not merely to inherit his father's kingdom. It was to prove that the kingdom could not function without him. The division of England and Normandy immediately unsettled the most powerful Norman families. Many nobles had followed William the Conqueror across the Channel, fought for him at Hastings, received English estates after the conquest, and retained lands in Normandy. Their wealth depended on the continued connection between the two territories. Under one ruler, the arrangement had been manageable. A baron could serve the king in England while also protecting family property in Normandy. Under two rival brothers, the situation became more complicated. If a noble supported William Rufus too strongly, Robert Curthose might threaten his Norman estates. If he favored Robert, the English king might confiscate his lands in England. The divided inheritance forced aristocrats to calculate where their best interests lay. Some believed that England and Normandy should be reunited under Robert Curthose, the elder brother. Robert had a claim based on seniority and had already inherited the Norman duchy. He was also regarded by some nobles as easier to influence than Rufus. Robert possessed personal courage and could be generous, but he struggled to impose discipline on his followers.